You are listening to the award-winning Uncapped Podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Chris Sands, and today I am joined by Lee Rosebush, the co-founder and distiller at Rosy Cheeks, and also who you've heard many times on this show in multiple capacities, Abby Cassarella, the currently the marketing manager at Rosy Cheeks, and not saying that like that's an impending doom or something, but just that she has been a guest as that same position for multiple places. Abby is a mainstay in Maryland's alcohol industry.
Yep, that's the truth.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me, Lee.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So it's an exciting time. It's your 2-year anniversary coming up. So I guess that means you opened only in semi-bad timing.
That's a nice way to put it.
Although, actually, no, that may have been like
prime time COVID time.
Like that was solidly like people were wanting to get out and get back to places.
We kind of lucked out with that. You know, we went through the regulatory stuff with all the COVID, getting the licenses and all that. It was kind of the nice timing of it.
And that probably dragged things on slightly with that.
But without a doubt.
In some ways helpful, especially if you were, you would have been opening solidly when things were opened back up and people wanted to get out to places.
And that was the thing, right? We're out on a farm, we have that spread out space. And when we first started out, it was kind of nice because we had about 150 acres out there to play with. There's horses and folks.
Oh, that's huge.
Thank you. Ponds, all that good stuff. So folks wanted to come out and hang out. And so it's been nice to have that sort of atmosphere and attitude.
And we should rewind a little bit. I probably should have mentioned Rosy Cheeks is located in Walkersville, Maryland. So just
right up the street.
Right up the street from Frederick or down the street or across the street, wherever you're located.
Yeah. Exactly. Pretty
much. But from where we're sitting, right up the street.
Yeah.
Where in Walkersville is that? Is that one of the places that you can get from 15 too easily, or is it one of the places you have to go? Like, Walkersville is like one of those weird towns where it, like, depending where it is, there's one easy way and one much more difficult way to get to.
For sure. The good thing is we're right off 15, so it's literally one road. If you take 194, you go past Walmart, go out past Safeway, we're literally the last address in Walkersville.
The first
in Woodsboro, depending on who you ask.
Okay. Oh, I know exactly where that is then, because I used to go to Walkersville to ride my bike a lot because there's way less traffic and people seem less hateful with bikers.
And a little more aware of
things on the road. It's definitely a popular destination for people to go ride, so there was a lot less like yelling at you to get off the road.
Plus, after you ride, you could swing by the distillery, right? It's perfect time.
So you opened in 2022.
Yes, sir.
So let's get your backstory. What were you doing before you decided to open a distillery?
So, personally, I'm a third generation moonshiner.
Okay.
I've been doing it for quite some period of time. I like to say it was research over that period of time. And you know, we had looked at several different formulas. From my background, I started out with a caramel apple. And my wife played with it and came up with several different flavors. And she developed a flavor that seems to go over quite well, the peach cobbler. And people started saying, hey, this stuff is great. Why don't you consider it? And so we went legal and here we are.
But what were you like? What did you do for a living before you decided to dive into the world of legal alcohol production?
Great lead. I love it. Great lead.
Exactly. A little bit of a change. I'm actually a lawyer by training. Yeah. And my background is I'm a PharmD, a doctor of pharmacy, a lawyer, an MBA, and a master's in finance, which means I went to school way too long.
I was just going to say, like, pick a lane, dude.
Exactly, right?
Because, first of all, I mean, looks can be deceiving, but you don't appear to be that old.
Right?
I appreciate that.
Like, at least when our buddy Tom Barse lists all the millions of things he do, that has done. Yeah, he's ancient. Right?
So, shout out Tom Barse.
Right?
Well, that's right around when it would cue him telling me to F off.
Yeah. Is there a caller in line one?
Yeah. Right. I mean, the good thing about it is, I should say scary thing about it is I've actually got one in college. So we have six kids, seventh kid any day now from that perspective. But yeah, I've got a little bit of a baby face. I've got one at the University of Iowa.
Why do you hate yourself so much?
Now you know why I sell alcohol. Seriously,
that is definitely it. All right. So you spent like what, 3/4 of your life in school?
Pretty much.
And then that is, I thought two kids was too many. I can't even imagine. Wow.
My wife is a saint. That's all I could say, man. Yeah. Right?
And they're all great kids.
Well, thank you. I'd like to hope so, but
yeah, right. Absolutely.
God bless you. Jesus.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right. So, are you still were you doing when?
So the whole moonshining thing started, going to give you the whole story, is going back to my pharmacy school. So I went to pharmacy school in Indiana, Purdue.
Okay.
I actually started making moonshine then.
So you're also ridiculously smart, is what you're saying, too.
I don't know about that, but...
Yes, I will say that.
Well, that's the answer, because if you did say yes, I'm like, all right, he's not actually... That's the answer to someone who is ridiculously smart. So we'll put that bar there. I'm the dumb one in the room now.
Oh, come on now.
Proceed.
No, I appreciate it. I personally started making moonshine at college.
Probably legally also.
Of course. Right. Lots of research.
I mean, there's plenty of, there's long distilling history in Indiana. So you're working for a distiller while in school for one of the many advanced degrees you have.
Yep. Selling alcohol and helping pay my way through college that way.
Okay.
Came out here to DC about 20 years ago for the legal aspect of it. You know, messed around with friends, did my research, that type of stuff, finalized our formulas. And over the last 20 years in the legal field, which I'm still a practicing attorney now, downtown DC, people said, you know, this stuff is really good. You should consider it. And that's where we've ended up.
What kind of law?
Ironically, FDA and healthcare.
I mean, I assume there was going to be a healthcare, like that you made the transition. Did you ever work as a pharmacist?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've spent time CVS, Walgreens, the Cleveland Clinic.
I hate CVS with a passion.
All I'll say is I am now an attorney for a reason, right?
There are few places that you go to that you just know there's going to be some sort of difficulty involved with the transaction.
Well, my favorite part of CVS is the receipt you get because it's always about 3 feet
long. Oh, my God. It's crazy. Right? It just keeps coming.
Thankfully, you can prepay for any prescription now through the app, and then you don't ever have to touch paper or really even talk to someone. They have at least made that easier to deal with. But, yeah, it's like no matter – I love for a while that was a huge trend on social media where like there would like comparing how long your receipt was. I would love to see what their budget for thermal printing paper is every year because
could you imagine
that like that particular receipt paper is so expensive.
Hey, when you're printing out 3, 4, 5 feet of it at a time, like, come on.
Yep.
Well, all right. Like, I don't even know. You have me so flabbergasted right now. I don't even know where to go from.
Well, I'm an open book, man. Whatever you'd like.
All right. So you were a pharmacist for a while.
I was.
And then CVS traumatized you probably even more than it has me. And you decided to go into law because you did not have enough school at that point.
Exactly.
Like, might as well go back.
Get one more degree.
Yeah. Right.
Where'd you go to law school?
So I went to law school at Case Western. Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a Midwestern guy all the way through. And while I was there, spent a little time working with the agency, the FDA here, a little time in private practice, and said, you know, I'd like to do a little bit of business, like a private equity type of thing. I went to business school, Indiana, got an MBA and a master's of finance at IU, and unfortunately graduated 2008, 2009. We all know what happened to the economy then.
Yeah.
Got some perfect timing, as you can tell. And that's when I came out here and have been out here ever since, being a DC lawyer.
So how many advanced degrees do you have?
You know, the ironic thing is I do not have a bachelor degree. I have a doctorate. I have a JD, which I guess is technically a doctorate as well, and 2 master's degrees. So 4 graduate degrees.
I have an associate's degree.
That's just as good, right? You? Right there, see?
You don't have one of those.
I do not. You got me beat, see?
That's awesome. Such a loser.
Oh, come on. Stop.
Who was the first person in your family to be a moonshiner?
Oh, it's going all the way back to my grandfather.
Like, and where was that? Was that
Indiana?
Okay.
Yeah. So we're talking folks that are going
plenty
back.
Plenty of corn.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
And that's one of the big things I would tell you that separates us from a lot of the other liquors that are out there is that we still use a lot of our own farm-based stuff. And if it's not ours, then we partner with farms, right? Like we use Butler strawberries, different down in Germantown. And you can really taste that difference. Like when you're using real corn and real ingredients, you can taste the difference between it. And that's what it really goes back to. Like being from Indiana, it's all about corn, right? We even have a joke and a slogan, there's more than corn in Indiana.
So, yeah, there's a lot of soy.
Exactly. but no, my grandfather did it. I mean, you're talking prior to World War II, right? Going back that long ago. And then it just kind of kept going. My uncle, from that perspective, Jim Rosebush, was the next one that did it and kind of taught me how to do it and then just kind of moved on from there.
Though I've only been to Indiana once, and that was like definitely the first thing I noticed is that it's just certain areas of it, it just alternates between soy and corn crops.
That's pretty much it.
That's right.
And it's a very boring drive for hours.
We like to say it's really flat. See? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful state. I had a lot of fun when I was there.
Oh, it's great, right? I mean, it's true heartland. True Midwestern. When you think of that, that's what you're thinking of, the people there in Indiana.
Yeah. What area of Indiana?
So I'm originally from South Bend.
Okay.
University of Notre Dame, 5 minutes away.
I wanted to go there. Okay. I was not smart enough.
Oh, come on now. Well, if it helps,
did you go there too?
I did not go there. So we got something in common, see? So grew up in South Bend.
Actually, it was more being poor that I didn't go to. Well,
we're right there together as well, see? Grew up in South Bend, went down to Purdue, middle of Indiana, and then hit Bloomington, which is more the party area, the fun area.
Yeah, one of my good friends lives in Bloomington.
Nice.
Huffy Glass lives there.
Mm-hmm. So I bleed black and gold. Like, I'm a hardcore Purdue guy, but if I had to admit it, I use a hell of a lot of fun. So.
I mean, I do too, but that's because I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, well. There you go. Different gold, right?
But it's close enough. We still use the same word.
That works.
So what, I mean, I'm assuming the answer is just glutton for punishment. What made you decide that you, like, I mean, you touched on it, like, 'cause people telling you that the product was good, that you should go, but like, what really made you decide you needed another profession? And why haven't you gone to get a doctorate in distilling?
No, I appreciate that. You know, actually, the real, I would say, other than people telling us it was good, the real kickoff was 2020, right, for COVID. My son actually played hockey before he started playing football and was playing for a team in Philadelphia called the Junior Flyers. And we would go back and forth all the time. And we started hanging out with the folks, tailgating with the folks. And all of a sudden, you had more and more people asking, saying, hey, you know, this stuff is pretty good. You should, you know, do you have more? Can I get some? Obviously, the answer is no, we don't sell.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. All that good stuff. Would never.
Never do anything like that. But the interest in it just continued to grow. And so over that 19, 20, 21 period of time, it really started to take off into the interest.
So the name Rosy Cheeks, I mean, I know where it comes from, but explain where it comes from.
Well, I mean, it's two things, really. The last name's Rosebush, so it's a play off there. All the way through high school and college, I played sports, used to ride motorcycles, still ride some. My nickname was always Rosie, so it was for that. And then we always say, if you drink enough moonshine, you get rosy cheeks, right? Which cheeks are rosy are up to you. So.
It's a good one, right?
Right?
That's a good one.
I really wish we still did video of this podcast because the facial expressions that Abby has been producing have been amazing.
Just taking it all in.
Right?
Just taking it all in.
She's over here smacking me. It's okay.
My favorite is, though, when there are two people on and the one person sits there and they actually kick.
under the table.
Yeah, that has happened many times where you have the large personality person and then the much more reserved person.
Accurate description.
What is the difference between the logos? So is that old, new, or just variant? Or
so there actually was an argument between my wife and I. Imagine that, right? You'll see who won very quickly. So she wanted the rose. I wanted the skull. And so what we ultimately came up with was a compromise. Always good marriage is going to be a compromise, right? Anything that's below 76 proof has that roses. We like to say about 80 proof.
Okay.
So it has the roses. Anything that's 80 proof or higher has the skulls.
Not only is that a great compromise, it's also, brilliant. Perfect. In Abby's marketing world.
Absolutely.
And as Abby can testify here, you can tell who won because we have about 14, 15 flavors that have roses, and we have about 4 or 5 that have skulls.
So. Yep.
I mean, I personally really like the skull one.
But. See, we're in the same camp. That works.
The skull one. We have stickers of both. The skull ones are the ones that always go. Well,
especially any guy that shows up there, I'm sure, is even if you're not like a skull person, that is like a really cool.
It's a fun
label. That was a very sexist comment. That probably is just popular overall.
It is.
It is. Like if you had to pick on the hoodies and the hats and all that, I bet it's about 2-1 on the sales. The skulls seem to go over well.
I mean, people just like skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Except your wife.
Exactly. Opposites attract, right? That's what they say.
Christy should have been here.
You're right. I haven't been drinking, so I'm sure that these are going to hit me fast and hard, mm-hmm. and we're probably in trouble. Yeah. You may be over here kicking me also. just walking back and forth, kicking both of us.
We'll just hand the mics over to Abby and be like, here you go.
Turn the volume down. Maybe you won't notice.
Exactly.
Let's try something, because they do look like we should just... Well, okay. What I'll let you start where you want to start, but I was going to suggest the one with the skull because it just looks really cool.
We can start high octane if you want.
It's probably better to go the actual route take.
Yes. first up is our peach cobbler. This is our best seller. Really fantastic, easy drinking.
Oh, it smells really good.
Thank you. Appreciate mm-hmm. that.
This one, we always like to suggest cocktails that people can make, easy cocktails, approachable for anybody. And peach cobbler, if you get some iced tea, and all of a sudden you have a really delicious adult peach tea.
I've tried a lot of really bad moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I typically just shy away from this. This is really good.
It's really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Makes my job easy. And well, the bonus with this one I'll just touch on is you have fruit in the bottom. So when you're done with the liquid, my favorite way to use the fruit is a blender, vanilla ice cream, and a little bit of milk. And all of a sudden you have an adult milkshake.
Yeah.
And it really is amazing.
Add a little caramel to it. You're good to go.
Yep.
And I would probably attribute it to... I've gotten the impression you don't do anything half-assed.
I appreciate that. that is accurate.
So there's no way you would put out what, in my mind, moonshine is.
Well,
and I'm sure that that's probably. I think though we're far enough into the realm of distilleries and people using the moonshine name that there's not that much that. Strong connotation, but that's probably still like something to overcome.
Absolutely.
In a way that there's a... Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting you say that because when we do our tastings, whether it be at, you know, liquor stores around or we go to events, the hardest thing is to get people to try that first taste.
Well, because in my mind, it's like, all right, cool. You threw some peaches and some flavoring and some Everclear. And
exactly,
and I'm gonna feel like I did in college.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we get that. We also get the folks who've got the story about moonshine, right? So what they'll come back to is, oh, I had that moonshine one time, and I don't remember that night. I can't do that again, right?
Yep.
So, but honestly, once people taste it, I mean, the amount of people who buy the bottle, buy the drink after they've had that first taste is crazy. It's just getting over that first hurdle. They hear moonshine, and that's they're scary of it. And what we like to say, it's true Southern moonshine. Right. There's a difference to which you pointed out. Right. There's some folks that have the Everclear, the 151s and all of that.
Oh, I've had some horrible nights with 151.
And
horrible, horrible nights.
And it goes back.
Bad decisions.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Or good decisions, depending on.
Right? No, they were bad. They were bad. They were really bad.
But it goes back.
I can share later, not on air.
Not on
that works.
Recording.
But it goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier. When you use real ingredients, you've got true Southern, right? Distilling from that perspective, you're getting rid of your tails, the stuff that isn't the good tasting stuff, that nail polish remover, you can taste the difference.
How much time do you have to spend telling people that moonshine doesn't actually make you go blind?
All the time. Mm-hmm. Just about everybody asks that question, yeah. Right?
We're not using lead-based radiators as a condenser. It's not going to make you go blind. That was like the origin of that, right?
It
was the lead. That was the problem.
Well, you get that. You also get the guys who will buy it, right? They'll say they'll buy it from West Virginia, Tennessee, right down south. And I say, I'll get it in a plastic jug. And I'll be
just leached a ton of.
Exactly. That's what I have to tell people. Like, if you're getting true moonshine and it's 80, 100 proof, it's eating plastic. Yeah. Right? So if you're getting in plastic jugs, either you're not getting the real deal or
you just drank a bunch of plastic.
Exactly.
Sounds awful.
Right?
Terrible.
So the key lime's next?
Key lime is next.
I love key lime everything.
I like, this is a great summer drink for me. I've been having it just over ice and really enjoying it.
That's really good too.
Mm-hmm. We also do a jalapeno.
That's like the perfect. See, I don't know if I'll get on board with that. I hate spicy liquids.
Okay.
I love spicy food. Jalapeno is my absolute favorite flavor in the world. I buy jalapeno everything.
Known that.
Yeah. But no, we have a sweet jalapeno. If I don't know that.
So, okay, then it may, but like, so like when Flying Dog was doing those, the pepper beers, those were the most disgusting things ever made. For some reason, there's just something with spice and drinking it that I don't
just can't
like.
Do.
Yeah, that I don't like. But,
and that's what's different about ours. Like, we don't sell the sweet jalapeno in any store. You have to come to the farm to get it, right? Mm-hmm. And it has that sweet taste at the beginning. So everybody's expecting this big, huge punch of jalapeno.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you get the jalapeno taste behind it. So you can taste that pepper.
Okay. So then I would love. So if it's mainly the flavor and then there's just like a slight warming, like you can feel just tickle
just
your throat a little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That I like. Mm-hmm. But when it's just like someone just trying to show off or something.
Yeah. Just spice for the sake of spice.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. No. And that's going back, and I'm going to throw a little bit of credit here with Christy, right? Because she is sort of the magician behind this, is it's one of the hardest ones for us to make because she has found a way to be able to basically make it sweet at the beginning and cook those real jalapenos in it.
Okay.
So it's basically like steaming and making pepper gas when you're making the stuff, right?
Yeah.
And to your point, like we're not just throwing in seasoning. Like because each jalapeno is different, I can't tell you if it's cooking for 5 minutes or 5 days. Right, you have to literally go in and taste it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's why she's got that magician touch behind it, because everyone, right, from that perspective, is about the same.
Yeah,
and she's got to sit there with sitting through that pepper spray, basically.
That's I find myself doing that at home a lot because I'll saute jalapeno with almost everything, but then it becomes like that, like you said, like a pepper gas in my in my kitchen.
Exactly.
This would taste so good while eating a slice of key lime pie.
Oh yeah, but that's why I bring up the jalapeno. We put the jalapeno in there, and it's like a spicy margarita.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also have a cherry pie, and we can do a cherry limeade or a strawberry limeade with that.
And and that's what I was going to say is you should actually pour him about another half of that key lime so he can mix it with the strawberry.
Oh yeah.
We call it a strawberry breeze to mix the two together. The other way to do this one, the key lime, either as a mule or...
Oh, that would be really good.
Or especially in the summer, if you come out, we do with a slushy machine, right? Like when we have our events, we partner
this
with
this is the mixed one?
That's the mixed. Yep, key lime and
Let me try the pure first.
Okay. So next up is our strawberry lemonade. This is our summer seasonal that we are just releasing into distribution and at the tasting room.
Strawberry lemonade, one of my favorite flavors.
Oh, it's so good.
And again, these strawberries from our farm and from Butler's.
They smell like just a super ripe strawberry.
I appreciate that.
And really just putting this over ice, if you want to cut the ABV, you can just do a splash of soda water. I mean, really simple. The flavors are there, so you can just really add very simple mixers to it and make it really pop.
You know, easy mimosas, bulimis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that you went more heavy on the strawberry than the lemonade.
So good.
Thank you.
Because so many like strawberry lemonade things, it tastes just like lemon with like you have to struggle to find the strawberry, but this tastes strawberry with like you pick up the tartness of the lemon a little bit.
Well, and that's, Christina, what we've tried to do is to say, look, the flavor, what we call it, is what it's going to be like. So when you pick up a bottle of strawberry, you pick up a bottle of chocolate cherry, right? Whatever it is that you're picking up, you know that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's very apparent across these. There's no struggling to figure out what it is. Even my third grade palate would have been able to figure out what they were without the suggestion of it.
All right, and next up we have our campfire.
The cool label.
Yes, this is the skull. So proceed with caution.
The mixture first.
Oh, sorry, don't mean to rush you. Take your time.
Oh, are you in a hurry?
Nope.
You bored already?
Nope. Not even. Nope.
That's all right. Just Lee and I will hang out.
Exactly. We got drinks. Okay. We're good.
Right. Bye, guys. 3 hours later.
Right. We just won't record everything. We'll be good.
There it's all right.
So how many different brands do you have? A lot.
So it varies because everything is real fruits and real seasonals, right? Usually we have about 13.
That mixture is phenomenal.
It's so good.
Thank you.
I know.
We have between 13 and 15 SKUs at a time, but the rotating SKUs of it, you're probably close to 30 at this point.
Now, you don't add – do you add any sugar or anything to these, or is it just fruits?
It depends on the flavor.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is very little bit of sugar in a couple of flavors.
Okay.
Two of them that you've had today doesn't have any sugar at all.
Okay.
The other thing that I would say, and we get this question a lot, everything we make is gluten-free.
Okay.
So Christy's actually celiac, so our deal together.
Oh, so you know that it's gluten-free.
Yeah. So our deal was together is we can make whatever as long as she could drink it. So
I feel like that's fair.
I think so.
I feel like that's really fair.
That's good. That I would say like that's the most subtle flavor.
So are you on the last one? All right. So this is Campfire. This is our whiskey like moonshine.
Oh, okay.
It is aged with American oak chips. We don't age in barrels. Not yet anyways. Not yet. Hopefully we will move into that. But, you know, this is maybe a little bit more for the seasoned drinker, somebody that likes that little bit of burn that you expect. That whiskey flavor really comes through with that one. So that's been a great seller for us. For maybe people who don't like the fruit-forward ones, that's a great option.
Okay, that makes much more sense to me. So in my mind, because I saw there was a caramel apple one.
I did not bring that one. I'm sorry.
Well, caramel is my favorite thing in the world, so you should have.
All right, so jalapeno caramel apple bottle.
We
got
know
it.
For the next one where we're going here.
So in my mind, like because of the coloring and the name, that's what that was. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, kind of confused. So it makes the flavor makes much more sense
there
in my head now
that
I'm not expecting to.
The campfire, we actually often get the question of, is it a s'more? Is it a cinnamon, right, from that side of it? And it really is, as Abby mentioned, meant to be like that American whiskey. It's American oak, medium charred. You know, you're going for that whiskey smoothness flavor.
How long do you have it sitting with the
so
chips?
With it being chipped age, right, it's a little bit of an accelerated process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like to say it's about an equivalent to a 4 or 5 year from that time.
But still really drinkable. I mean, even at 80 proof, I mean, it works out so well. Again, I didn't bring cherry pie, but put a little bit of cherry pie on top of that, and it really is like a...
That would be a nice melding of flavors.
Very much so.
So we have a name for it, right? Moonhattan. So because it's all straight moonshine from that side of it.
Can I have a little more of the strawberry and key lime mixed together?
Of course.
Happy there we go. Those. So you got the cocktail going.
Do you want one of these?
Sure, I'll take one too.
If I didn't have to drive home soon after this, I would have just said, fill that for me.
That works. And that's one of the things. We have some of the cocktails up on the website. So if you go up there, you'll see a blueberry lemonade. You'll see what we call a pineapple upside down cake. Things like that are fairly easy to make. Like our pineapple upside down cake's literally 50-50 caramel apple moonshine and pineapple juice.
Okay.
Things like that we've tried to help out. And they're easy ways to make it.
Is that a... Do people come to Rosy Cheeks a lot for, like, to just have a cocktail? Or is it mainly, is your business mainly people coming, trying it, and buy bottle?
We do have a tasting room, and we do have events, and we do sell cans out there of cocktails from that perspective. But for the most part, it's people coming, tasting, getting jars, and going.
Okay. Yeah, I guess jars would be the better term.
Yeah. Close enough, right? It works.
Yeah. Was it hard for a while to get mason jars, or is it not?
Very.
Okay. I was going to say, because I thought I remembered that's like one of the categories of glass vessels that became very difficult to get your hands on.
Yeah. When we first started out, it was tough getting aluminum for cans, and it was tough getting glass jars. So we, even though we were small, we were ended up having to buy it by, you know, the 52-foot truckload at that point.
Oh, yeah, because that was their way of, I guess, gatekeeping the short supply. Was like the only way you're getting it is if you're getting a lot.
Exactly.
I lost my question. Oh, so you do canned cocktails? Is that what's canned?
We do.
Okay. Do you have your own canning, or do you use mobile canning?
So we have our own canning machine.
Okay.
We've also partnered up with one of the distilleries here to help on a more larger scale. Well, we're doing bigger, larger runs. Now, we still do all the production, but they help with some of the canning.
Okay, cool. What kind of still do you have? Because I don't know if I've ever learned like what the proper still for moonshine is.
So this is the interesting part, right? We are true moonshiners. From that side, we do all of our own distilling, unlike some of the others that you've heard for that blend. Now, with our distilling, because we started out as moonshiners, we actually have 7 stills.
So you follow the Lion, right? Don't they? I'm pretty sure like Lion has just a ton of, maybe not a ton, but they have a whole bunch of small stills because they perfected it on a small still.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
Just added like this, they just like copy pasted that still.
And
as
it seemed
to
work great for them.
Instead of like.
So we actually took a hybrid approach. So we started with that and we ended up going to 4 of those. I think they've got 7 or 8 as well. So we went 4 of those types. Said, okay, let's try.
So good.
Thank
that
you.
Being the, I mean, they were all great, but that right. the
but
mixture
that combo,
of the
I know.
Key lime and the straw, that's got to be one of the most fun parts of working there.
Oh, it's
is just
awesome.
Taking like each individual one and mixing everything together and coming up with concoctions.
That's exactly. On the website. We have a cocktail page, and people are always like, well, how much and how much? And my response is figure out what you like. And that's the fun of this. You can do a little bit more key lime. You can do a little bit more strawberry. And we want people to have fun with it and interact with the product, not just put in a glass and drink it.
Exactly. And we've had folks who've actually brought in their own, right? They say, hey, we recommend these 2 recipes from that side of it. We can name a cocktail after them, right? Or a recipe after them from that side of it. It's kind of the fun part to be able to work because everybody's got a little bit of a different palate.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you?
Going back to our stills, yeah. No, so we actually started with 4, unlike I think they had 7 or 8 from that side of it. We started with 4 of the smaller stills, went to a 26-gallon still, which in today's stage, that's still really small, right? Went from a 20.
They're pot stills or they're?
Column stills.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we go from a 26-gallon still, then we went up to a 50-gallon still, then we went up to a 150-gallon still. So when you walk in, it, unlike theirs where they've got copy-paste all the way through, you'll see, and it's kind of neat to take the tour because you've got that little bitty, basically a coffee maker looking still, all the way up to something that you and I could fit in at this point.
That's all. So what do you, how do you decide which one to use then? Is it just based on what it is? Let me rewind a little bit. Are they all the same base grain recipe?
Or? So there's no grain. Right?
Corn.
Yeah, it's all corn-based from that perspective, but yes, it's all the same. Most of our distilling, and you can see the videos actually up on Facebook, most of our distilling comes out at about 190 proof. So you could run the tractor on it when it comes out. We then take it from there and determine what we're going to be making on it, right, depending on what we're short on for inventory, whether it's we're going to age it with chips, as was mentioned, make like our version of a bourbon, our version of a whiskey, right, or if we're going to go one of the fruit flavors from that side.
So what would you use? Decide to use the like small still as opposed to using the big one.
If we've got to make a more specialized order, so for example, we've made some whiskeys where folks are saying, "Hey, we'd like to have your corn-based whiskey, but we want to have a unique touch to it." Then we'll use a small still.
Okay,
you got a little more control. I'm being honest, as a moonshiner, you get a lot more control with the 5 to 7 gallon size stills. The 150-gallon still, not that it produces bad alcohol, because I don't know if you even know this, our 100-proof moonshine, right? A lot of people know us for our sugar stuff, the lower stuff, but 100-proof moonshine actually took 3rd in the East Coast from my perspective last year.
Oh, cool.
So we have that, and that higher proof, if you're doing a larger batches, probably most of it at this point is going to be on the 150-gallon still.
So just depending on the flexibility you need or like how large of a batch that you're making at that time.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. What's your personal favorite?
My personal favorite is probably my original one, the caramel apple.
Okay.
So that was what I started with from that side of it. Honestly, though, when I'm
that's like one of the most, well, I guess apple pie is probably the most like stereotypical. Like,
and we have one of those. Flavor.
We do. Yeah. We actually have two strengths, right? We have a low test and a high test, that's 40 true. Proof and a 60 proof.
So it would be apple pie and like cherry too, right? Like those are the two like
most
common moonshine flavors.
Yep. Yeah. But our peach, honestly, is our best seller by far.
But I mean, that it's really, really, I mean,
It tastes
like liquefied peach cobbler. Yep. And then you have the bonus of making a milkshake when you're done.
Exactly.
And you know, to go along with that, to brag a little bit for Christy from that side of it, is she came up with that recipe. Last year we put it in, they call it the East Coast Craft Spirit Awards. It judges all moon, they have a category for moonshines, but it's all distilled spirits. Yep. Anything east of the Mississippi, 26 states. It won Best Moonshine in the East Coast. So it beat all the good old boys down south.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Really congrats for Christy, right, from that side. But it beat all the good old boys down south. So that's it's a hard one to beat from that side.
That's awesome. What's your favorite, Abby?
I can't pick a favorite child. No.
Lee's not going to tell you right now, but he definitely has a favorite child.
Oh, yeah.
It changes day to day.
That's true.
But there is definitely a favorite child.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a lie parents tell you.
There you go. Okay, fine. I am definitely the favorite of my parents. There you go. For sure. The key lime, it's so versatile, but it's also just so good over ice. So that's the one I reach for. The strawberry lemonade is also a close second.
So are you the first one in your family to legally produce and sell moonshine?
I am.
Okay. Yes. So have you do the distilling, but I've gathered like it's a team effort, or is it mainly Christy that does the flavor?
No, it's a
profiling.
Team. Okay. Yeah. So my father-in-law, he actually moved out from Indiana, retired, moved out, helps take care of the farm. We have 4 or 5 people now inside the actual distillery. Mm-hmm. Abby joined us, and we have a couple folks now doing the marketing and sales side of it as well.
Okay.
So it is growing quite rapidly from that side of it, but no, it's a team based.
What all is grown on the farm? Cause you got a decent amount of space.
We do. So last year we had a fairly large corn production. We have some folks that help us out, ranch hands, right? Farm hands, as well as a farmer that comes in from that side of it. And we had, I think around 50 acres of corn last year.
Okay.
We have apple trees, right? If you come out, we have a big pond out in the front. We have apple trees all around that. We have apple trees up on the top of the hill. So,
Are you able to grow all of the corn you need, or do you still have to source
at this
corn
point,
also?
Yeah. At this point, we're still having our own corn from that side.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Cause that's gotta be rare.
It is.
Cause even like most places that like call themselves a farm, whatever, they maybe meet the legal definition and
maybe not too. We don't talk about that. And then,
we'll pretend that they always at least meet the legal definition.
Yes.
And then sometimes go like, because they have a farming heritage or something, they actually do go far into it. But I don't think I've ever talked to someone that like 100% of their base production is supported by what they're growing themselves.
It is. And we started out with the fruits being all this, but we have started to partner it out with, like we mentioned, Butler's down in Germantown to do strawberries.
Obviously you're not growing key limes.
Exactly.
In Frederick.
Exactly. Right.
Lemons. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. So there's a few now from that side of it. We've talked to the folks at Catoctin, right? We have some stuff for peaches, right, at this point, because a peach is so large. But for the most part, it's all, I would say personally, either from our farm or within the surrounding area, all Maryland based.
True Maryland. Other than the things that just won't grow here.
Right.
Maryland-based agriculture.
That's right.
Do you grow the strawberries yourself on the farm?
We do have strawberry plants. Unfortunately, we're now having to use again. We use right down in Germantown from
that
side.
That's a much harder dedicated crop to, to grow.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, right, when my father-in-law came out, Indiana growing season, right, different than out here. So the first year I had to explain to him, hey, no, our strawberries are going to be ready in, you know, May, not June, July, right? Yeah. Those types of things as well. And getting folks used to the growing seasons out here, just different than what we had back home in Indiana.
It's weird. Like, it's a very similar but also very different climate.
Right.
Like, the differences are weird. Some, like, the temperature seems to be within very close. Weather is usually just a day there earlier than here. Yep. But it's still, for some reason, such a different actual overall climate.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure a smarter person would understand that more than me. So maybe you could explain that.
Sure. You know, the interesting thing is that northern Indiana, you've got all that stuff off Lake Michigan. People forget how big Lake Michigan is, yeah. Right? You can't see the other side of it when you're standing at the shore. And because of that, you get a lot of weather, just like we do here off the bay. And so they get a lot of snow later in the season, that lake effect snow coming across. And so their growing season usually starts a good month after ours. You know, the old saying is, for our corn, for example, when we're growing our corn, if you were back home, if it was knee high by the 4th of July, you were doing great.
Yeah, right. That's the growing up in Pittsburgh. That was the same saying for corn in the western Pennsylvania area. But there's probably a lot of similarities in the lake effect. Not as strong maybe as northern Indiana, but Cleveland. Western Pennsylvania still gets a lot of the lake effect.
Yeah, I think Youngstown, Cleveland, it's going to be weather like that.
Okay. So I'm going to assume that Rosy Cheeks is a fairly family friendly location, because it would be fairly hypocritical of you to
right her yes. kids only.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, we definitely welcome all kids from that side of it. Obviously, you gotta be 21 to drink.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. We have games out there. We have cornhole boards. Personally, my kids, like, they love the huge dice and things like that. So we've got all that stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. So not just family friendly, you actually offer things for
them to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you go on our Facebook, you'll see events. For example, a lot of times we'll partner up with Glamour View, one of the ice cream food trucks around, to do like slushies and stuff for the kids when the people would come out. And we oftentimes have music. And the music, again, family friendly from that perspective.
We need to talk about your anniversary party.
Yes, please. I've been waiting.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm guessing that Abby's been sitting there wondering why it hasn't been mentioned yet.
No. I knew we'd get there eventually.
There you go.
We're turning two, which is, I think, a really great reason to celebrate. So we've decided to have a 3-night celebration starting off May 2nd. We have Sadie Bass, who was on season 22 of The Voice, I think. She's coming back. She came last year, and it was an absolutely incredible event to have on the farm. She's playing from 7 to 9. And then Friday, we have Gary Burke coming. Gary Burke the third coming. He's playing from 7 to 9 as well. He was also on The Voice.
Yep.
And then on
Saturday, like a plug at The Voice or something.
Right. I know. I'm in. Yeah.
You know, like, what show my kids like now. Yeah,
that's it. And then Saturday, May 4th, we have a local Frederick band called The Dirty Middle coming out to play from 6:30 to 8. And
that's
Adrian?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're really excited about, you know, showing some love to the local. And then earlier that day, we actually have a storyteller coming out, and he's going to talk about the history of moonshine and just some exciting stories about moonshine in the area and Appalachia and, you know, the history of that. So, and we have food trucks every night, and it's just going to be a really good family-friendly time on the farm.
Does Maryland have much of a moonshine history?
I mean, I think Appalachia does. Yeah, I don't know if it's specific to. But, I mean, if you get up to Garrett County, Cumberland, I mean, I'm sure there's some moonshiners out there. I'm sure of it.
I'm just going to nod my head.
I always, like, that is so not Maryland, even though it's in
Maryland.
Oh, but
it is.
No, but I mean, like, in a way that, like, it's just so different than the Maryland that I experience day to day. Like, I don't think, like, yeah, there's definitely moonshining that takes place out there.
Absolutely.
I don't even have to look up to confirm that.
Well, honestly, as somebody who comes from Indiana, right? I didn't grow up here in Maryland. That's one of the beautiful things about Maryland, right? Because you can go out
to like five different states.
Oh, yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
I mean, it is, though, right? Because you go out to Ocean City, right? Yeah. You go to the Bay, you go down to D.C., and you can go out to Cumberland, and all of those are going to be a different day.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We're really lucky.
Exactly.
That we all live here.
Yep.
Yeah. There are, starker differences within Maryland than there are from some state to state differences.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, because like obviously Maryland has like the rich rye whiskey heritage. I just wasn't sure like if there was any kind of like known strong roots of moonshine in Maryland, but we're probably a little further east than
that was happening. Yeah,
because that was mainly just all Appalachia, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was really like the heart of it.
Now, there is some events though. Like if you go up to Cumberland in September, they have what they call the Whiskey Rebellion, which goes back to Prohibition days and all of that perspective.
Yeah, but they're taking that from like the Pittsburgh area.
Well, I'll give you that. Those are fighting words, right?
They kind of stole that from us.
Okay.
All right. Yes, Chris.
Well, right. I grew up like within walking distance of one of the major battles of the Whiskey Rebellion.
Nice.
I'll give you that. Okay. Uh-huh. But they
they stole that from Pittsburgh.
Okay. But they do got a pretty good event up there, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure they deserve it and earned it.
But. I'm sure. And then if you want to do another event, you don't have to travel all the way out to Cumberland. We are members of the Maryland Distillers Guild.
Good segue, Abby.
Thank you.
Look at that professional sitting over there.
You don't have to travel, Frederick. On May 18th, we are hosting a Maryland Spirits events at the new Visionary Academy off of 2nd Street. It's a new hotel and event space, and we're actually going to be one of the first events at that space. So I think we have 17 Maryland producers, and it's going to be a spring theme. So we're going to have plant vendors, macrame vendors, and just a great collection, some local musicians, local food trucks.
Some loser podcaster.
I'm not saying that at all. We're happy that everybody's involved, but there's a Whiskey University is doing a class, and there's a VIP ticket, general admission ticket, and sampling comes with all of those tickets. So
it's probably something I should just know, but if I remember correctly, the pricing is very reasonable.
Very reasonable. I shouldn't quote it because I actually don't know, and I'm the one who set up the ticketing page, so that's not good.
I don't feel
as
bad now.
Please don't. Monica's yelling at the radio right now. I think it's VIP. I think it's 50, and general admission is 35. If I remember correctly,
that sounds about right.
Yeah,
here's the link right there.
Oh,
for
there
tickets.
You go. Yep. And so if you're interested in coming, you can go to the Maryland Distillers Guild website and purchase your tickets.
They are even more reasonable.
Oh, great.
$35 for general admission and $50 for VIP.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Someone in the room is paying attention while Abby was talking instead of just trying to find the link.
And then you can also do the...
I thought you said 50 and then something else.
Oh, no. And you can add on the Whiskey University class, which is before the tasting event.
$35.
Mm-hmm.
You get the whole shebang for $95.
Pretty good deal.
I only heard you say 50 and 95. Did you say 95?
I did not say 95. It's fine, Chris.
You were good, right? You got to add on there.
I am not good at this at all. You would think after close to 8 years that I would... be remotely good at this.
Collectively, we're doing great.
Yes.
I think we're doing fine.
And then from what I understand, you'll also be at the Frederick News Post Fiber Fest.
Yes. We are. Oh, yeah. The fairgrounds. We're also doing the Frederick Farmers Markets coming starting next month.
That's got to be huge for you guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Farmers markets. It's definitely
it's big for, like, distilleries in general, but I feel moonshine, definitely a farm-produced product.
You get your finger on the pulse, right? With the true agriculture and being able to show that off, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're only two, so we're also still trying to see where we fit in the market and see, which group of buyers really resonates with our brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing farmers markets, there's a marketing aspect to it, introducing people to the brand. And I Lee touched on this earlier. Once people taste it, they're fans. I mean, it's really rare that you get somebody to taste it and they don't end up walking away with a bottle for themselves or a gift for somebody else. So we're really just trying to, not flood the market, but get out there, introduce ourselves, and really become the moonshine of Frederick County.
What are you able to do at farmers markets? You can sample and like basically you just do everything you can do at your tasting room.
At the tasting room. I don't think we're going to do cocktails at 8 a.m. for farmers markets. A little early.
You could though, right? Legally, I think.
It depends on the place and their licensing and all that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would probably be irresponsible to serve cocktails at 8 a.m.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Probably irresponsible. Well,
But you can sample small cups. Yeah.
And we're starting to come out with new things. Just now we're starting to come out with our canned cocktails, as Abby was mentioning. So we're trying to find that right niche, right, as to where things would go at this point.
Are you available in stores?
We are. We signed on with a distributor, and we are now in Garrett County, Allegheny County, Frederick County, Carroll County, Howard County, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore City and County, Cecil.
Montgomery.
Hartford. So we're getting out there. We have a working with a distributor, like I said, and getting the brand out there, which has been fun to see, you know, where we're getting really successful, you know, where we need to spend a little bit more time. Yeah. As Lee mentioned, we do have some sales reps that are out pushing the product. So,
and there is a find us page at rosycheeksdistilling.com where you can look up where you could purchase their products. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very easy if you're listening and you're in Frederick.
Very easy. And I also always encourage people to come out to the distillery. I mean, that's really where you get a sense of not only the product, where it's grown, but also the family. Our tasting room right now, it seems like you're hanging out at somebody's house. There's, you know, a nice comfortable couch to hang out on. Our tasting room staff are really knowledgeable and really great at making people feel like they're welcome and they're part of the family of Rosy Cheeks, which is one of the reasons I'm so glad that I came on board, because it really does feel like that core group that you want to hang out with, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not the normal lip service of an employer telling you that everyone's family.
Yeah, right. I hesitated to use that term because, you know, sometimes people don't like hearing that. But, you know, and the production crew, I mean, we're always, again, you know, only being 2 years old, we're always spitballing different ideas, different recipes, and there's this very much collaborative nature that sometimes you just go in, they tell you your job, and you go out and do it. I think it's a little bit different because we are trying to, you know, should we try and do a orange flavor for smashes? Should we, you know, try and focus just on the lemonade? And that collaborative energy and effort is a lot of fun to come into. We have a good time.
We should do a pineapple mango.
Pineapple mango? Okay. Yeah. We'll put that down.
It's just an answer to everything.
Hey, man. Okay.
That works.
We could use the tahini on the mango.
There you go. Yep. And that's exactly what we're looking for. If folks out there want to come try and they have an idea to say, hey, you know what? I think you'd like blackberry. Yep. Right, or whatever flavor it would be. That's part of the fun of it, is when they give us those ideas, is to say, okay, let's go make it, Chrissy. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And so we're always open to new ideas, new flavors from that side of it, right?
We do have pickle juice on the shelf to see if we're going to deep dive into the savory flavors.
But we also got some unique stuff we haven't talked about, things like marshmallow, right, where you would be like, huh, that's a little bit different from that side of it. We do a pumpkin pie in the fall. Actually, pumpkin pie was used at the craft cocktail in Maryland and won best cocktail in the state. So we have some things like that. We've partnered up with Dublin Roasters to make a coffee flavor. So whenever folks have an idea, we're always open to say, hey, let's see if we can do it.
Absolutely. That's the fun of being a small. We can actually use those recipes and rework it.
Well, I would think it's fairly easy to even just do like super tiny one-off tries at stuff, right? Because if your base product is the same across everything, you can infuse whatever size, whatever amount that you want to.
Right.
You're not, and so like if you want to just try one jar, then only wasted one jar worth of your base.
Well, and that's it. We talked about these are all 40 proof, but you know, putting 40 proof in a can, you know, we might not want to go in that direction. So also figuring out how to make these products still flavorful, but bringing the ABV down just a little bit is something also we've been playing around with, especially when we're going to deep dive into the cocktails, canned cocktails.
Yeah, and the other way, right? So we're trying to come up with some of the high test flavors.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things a lot of folks say is, well, look, it's great. We like it. It's a little bit sweet. Can you do a little bit different? Mm-hmm. So we've come out with now four or five different SKUs with 65 proof, which we like a high test peach, a high test blueberry, just to make that little bit of difference. And to your point, right?
With the cooler label.
Exactly. Did you hear that, Christy? Yeah. But to your point, there's a little bit that goes into it, because obviously the higher the proof, the stronger the flavor has got to be able to balance out from that. So we do have some of that too, is okay, if this is going to be a lighter flavor, say a watermelon, right? Can you do it at a 40 proof? Does it have to be at a 60 proof? Can you go up to the 80s? And where's the right fit?
Is it hard to work with those more delicate flavors like watermelon with moonshine?
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah, because a lot of special and not to give anything away, right? We have flavors getting ready to come out here. But
I mean, that would be, this would be the perfect time to talk about it.
I mean, especially for those that like Lainey Wilson, right? The songs. But those types of flavors from that perspective are a little bit harder to come out with when they're a lighter fruit. Because what ultimately ends up happening is when you smash the fruit down, you get that, bam, the first day or two, the flavor. But moonshine takes a little bit of time to age, right, to commingle between the alcohol and the flavors. And what happens is after 4 or 5 days, that flavor starts to wean a little bit. And so if you've got a lighter flavor, it's really tough to be able to find that right balance.
So how are products like the peach pie or peach cobbler made? Is that all mixed in like a large steel vat? And then, like, I guess, like, how do you portion out how many peaches go into each jar? Like, what's that process?
So that's the secret sauce. And we do that all at the farm, right? We don't farm out from any of that perspective. I think we're one of the only distilleries in the state that has a special piece of equipment to figure out what the proofing is. So a lot of times we'll get questions because, for those that are really into distilling, you know, if there's sugar in an alcohol, it's hard to find what that exact proof is. And we have a very delicate piece of machinery that's used for lots of other things, chemicals, right, and all the others to figure out the exact down to the thousandth or even a millionth of a proof. We have that to be able to figure out our proof. We use that as part of our science. And we do a lot of cooking out at the farm from that side of it. So it's not a commercial kitchen, but basically a commercial kitchen out there where Christy is doing her magic with the team to be able to help commingle both the alcohol and the flavors together.
That's got to be, like, that particular one's got to be very labor intensive, though, right? Like, to make sure that you don't have a jar with, like, two slices of peach in it.
Exactly.
And another jar with.
Shout out to Kristen and Abby on our production crew.
Yes.
They're in charge of all of that. They do a great job.
We literally have two folks, as Abby mentioned, whose little job is to ensure that there's the right amount of cherries and the right amount of peaches in the jars as they go out. So that's their job.
Okay. Abby, where is the best place for people to stay up to date with Rosy Cheeks?
You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, Rosy Cheeks Distilling. Our website is, we're in the process of revamping it, but all of the pertinent information about any cocktails, what flavors we have out, and then any events that are coming up.
Is there, so we talked about the 2-year anniversary. Are there any other close coming up events you want to talk about now, or should people just go to the website?
Yeah, I think our focus right now is the second anniversary, and then also supporting the Maryland Distillers Guild, which does a lot of lobbying work, promotion work on behalf of all producers in the state, and they have been great to work with, and we're really enjoying that. So I think those two events are what we're trying to focus on. But we have so many events coming up off-site, whether it's liquor store tastings, farmers markets, or events. We have a lot coming, and especially coming up in May, it's going to get crazy. Yeah, the summer is going to be crazy.
May, June, and July is really busy.
It is ridiculous how many events
there are. So much going on. So much.
And even, like, I don't know, January and February were supposed to be slow, and they weren't.
See, true. When it comes to the alcohol business, January and February is our slow months, right? Mm-hmm. But to your point, we were preparing and prepping because these next 3 months are just
crazy. Or you just
start
like coming up with every possible event you can throw to try to keep it as busy as possible.
Right.
So then it's even busier for yourself.
Right.
Yep.
So true.
So that slow time thing is completely made up. Like, sales may slow down,
right?
But
right.
Like, the work does not
exactly.
slow down.
I think
all.
We it's Christmas to New Year's. I think that that's the slow week. Yeah. Maybe.
Thank you two so much for making the long journey down to
20 whole minutes. Yeah.
I really enjoyed all four products and our time together. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. It's been great.
Yes, thank you.
And I will drop off your bottle of caramel apple and jalapeno later on this week.
There you go.
Everyone should go check out the farm distillery. Why don't you lean in? Like, why don't you lean into it from that standpoint, like of declaring yourself a farm distillery? Or is that a legal designation that you have to have that you don't have?
So we...
I don't know that.
I mean, the interesting thing is we are part of the Maryland Agricultural Land Preserve. So we are part of MALF. So we are recognized by the state as a farm. And we are part of the CREP program, which is the USDA's farm program. So we do have all that.
Yeah.
And again, without giving too much away, we have cans that are about to come out. Mm-hmm. And I will say the label is unique and different. Right,
that's true.
Recognizing the farm side of things.
Okay, mm-hmm. I mean, because I feel like that's something you should definitely lean into, mm-hmm. and that you've earned.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, go check out the farm, and also come to the what's the real name of the
Spirits festival? Of Maryland Frederick.
That's it. I mess it
you
up.
You know, I should have said that earlier too. Yeah. Sorry, Monica.
And thank you everyone for listening. Cheers.
The Uncapped Podcast is produced by Graham Cullen and me, Chris Sands. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and if you've enjoyed these podcasts, please leave us a review on Google Play or the iTunes Store. A special thanks to Double Motorcycle for providing our theme music. Thanks for listening.
Oh my God, that's good.